conclude it this evening by looking at chapter 6 of Ephesians, if you want to open your Bibles with me and follow there, and we'll go from verse 18. Alright, let me read it. We've done it before, but just to wrap it up tonight. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm there, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here's the conclusion for tonight. And pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This may be of some interest to you. A few years ago, a very good friend of mine sold a farm, a couple of farms that he owned, and made quite a bit of money. And he came to me and said, how can I use this in the province? So we went through a couple of suggestions, and we came up eventually, and he gave me five steel structures. Now that's a hang of a big input. And these steel structures were adequate to build a church, to cater for about 100 people, and on the side to have a vestry and some toilets and a Sunday school room. And we were able to slowly put these five across the province, but mainly in the poorer areas. And today, after our morning service, I went to Umbumbulu. And it was such an incredible joy for me, friends. Just, it's good for you to know that God has been gracious to our province. And get there, it's right out in the rural areas. I'm sure you know all of this, but you know that 70% of KZN is in the rural areas. So we're right out in the sticks there, and you come across this little building. We said to them, we'll give you a structure that's all the steel and the roof, but you must build the walls and put in the windows and paint it and finish it off. And what a great day. Got there at about 11:30. I think we finished at 2:30, and it took us about an hour to get back here. But what a great day. Putting up these buildings across our province for the preaching of the gospel. So it's a great, great joy. Got one now in Ashdown. We just finished this one in Umbumbulu. Remember the other day I was up in Ficksburg. We put one there. Got two more to go up. And then we're ready to go to heaven. Anyway, let's pray now. What a lovely day you've given to us, Lord. Day just being able to learn about Jesus and to teach others about Christ. And this morning to be able to dedicate a new building for the preaching of the gospel there in the Umbumbulu area. Oh God, thank you for that. And I ask you now, please, Lord, that as we draw this little series that we've done this month to a close, Lord, touching on familiar ground for many of us, and we know that often brings great dangers, because we don't do it. But please, won't you speak to our hearts tonight, Lord? We really ask that, so that today, in the times in which we live, we may be effective for you, and in our own personal lives, that we may stand for Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now friends, you all know that I love the hymns. I treasure those jolly hymns. They are old-fashioned in some ways, but they have got fantastic doctrine. And the one hymn that some of you may remember by Charlotte Elliott, it just goes like this. Just listen to these words. She says, Christian, seek not rest. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of an enemy. Watch and pray. Principalities and powers are mustering their vast array. Wait. They wait for your unguarded hours. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day, and pray that help may be sent on. Watch and pray. That's an incredible words that have been written for us. And it's amazing, my friends, to read that. Because now at the end of the armor, the apostle has so beautifully told us what it's all about. He has told you and me that we're in a war, and it's difficult. This is the reason why on a regular basis you'll read your Sunday Tribune and you're going to read the Mercury and you're going to read of well-known Christians falling. And it mustn't surprise you because it's a war. It mustn't surprise us when Christians who regularly come to church may drift back and go back into the world. It mustn't surprise you. It's going to happen. It's a war. We're in a war, and it's very, very difficult. That's what Paul has been saying. So we need the helmet to look after our mind and our eyes. We need the breastplate to cover our heart. We need the belt to tie it all together. We need the gospel on our feet to give us stability so we are not pushed over when the going's tough. We need the shield of faith, and we need the sword. And now Paul says, as he finishes it all off, that you must keep on praying. And the reason why he does that is that the apostle knows that victory over Satan and his hosts in this warfare demand, my brothers and sisters, unceasing and a diligent commitment to prayer. Prayer was also the closing theme of this letter of the Ephesians. And though it's closely related to all these aspects that we've been through this month, it's more than that. Prayer is not just another weapon. What it's rather saying is, while you've got the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, while you've got those, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. That's what he's saying. Because prayer is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. It's that all-pervasive strategy in which the warfare is fought. You know that you've always heard Leonard Ravenhill's famous statement, 7 days makes 1 week. 7 days without prayer also makes 1 week. And you know, my brothers and my sisters, I speak in my own heart more than anybody else here this evening, but if you are not praying, I want to suggest to you, my friends, you're playing. You are playing in your Christian life. Prayer is absolutely critical for us. Jesus taught it, and the Apostle Paul is lying. So let's come and have a look tonight. Just two things. Won't take long. We're going to have a look in verse 18 at some of the general instructions that the Apostle gives us for prayer, and then just secondly, some specific illustrations. Now, what does Paul teach us then about prayer? What are the general instructions that he wants you and me to remember about prayer? Notice, it's actually quite amazing. It struck me such a lot when I was preparing this for you. Let me read it again. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer. You see, keep on praying for all the saints. See that word all? I said to myself, and why is it interesting? Why does Paul use the word all on four occasions? And I'll show you why. Number one, because it teaches us of the power of prayer. What is the power of prayer? Listen to what Paul says. Pray in the Spirit. Where's the power of prayer? He says to us, there it is. When you come and pray, pray in the Spirit. So the issue, of course, that we ask ourselves straight away is, what does that mean? Well, John Stott says, this means that you are prompted and guided by Him. Just as God's Word is the sword of the Spirit which He Himself employs. And so the Bible and prayer belong together. They are the chief weapons which the Spirit puts into our minds and our heads. So when you are praying, you are praying according to the Word. You are praying with the Word. I don't know about you, but I used to get a bit discouraged when I used to read all these biographies that I read. I'd read of Samuel Rutherford, for example. Samuel Rutherford was a great preacher in Scotland, one of the greatest ever, I believe. He would wake up every morning of his life at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray till 8, every day of his life. Charles Simeon, who was the minister of Holy Trinity in Cambridge, he started the Bible Society, the Church Missionary Society, did the most unbelievable work, same as him, and I'd say to myself, hey, I can't do that. I get up and pray, and I can't pray for 4 hours, I must be honest. How did they do it? And then, of course, I learned that what they did was exactly this, that whether it was Simeon or Rutherford or Wesley or Whitfield, what they would do is they would read the Word, God would speak to them through the Word, and they'd respond. And they would talk to God and pray to God and intercede with God. And that took on a whole new meaning for me. That's exactly what Stott is saying. Or John MacArthur, to pray in the Spirit is to pray in the name of Christ. To pray consistent with His nature and will. Obeying His Word. And then relying on the leading and strength that He will give us. We will then be drawn into close and deep fellowship with the Father and the Son. You know, friends, it is incredible for me that. You read of David Brainerd, for example. He was a missionary to the New Indians in about the 1700s. You know, if you read his diary, he says something like this. He's riding on his horse, and he suddenly falls off the horse into the snow, and he begins to pray. And he says, even though it's cold, he says, I became wet with perspiration as he intercedes with God. You know, you don't see that today. You very seldom hear that. You see, these were great Christians used mightily by God, and what you find is they love to pray. They loved to pray. They loved to be with God. And the Spirit so enabled them and so influenced them as they saturated their minds with the Word of God. So where's the power of prayer? Pray in the Spirit. How do I do that? I pray by being in the Word and being led by the Spirit. The danger for all of us is that our prayers become clockwork, cramped, and confused. That's often what happens. Clockwork, we pray the same things all the time. Cramped, quickly 2 minute devotions before we shoot off to work, and confused. We don't want that. We don't want that. We want to be like Jesus. Jesus got up a great while before day. Jesus did that. Before he chose his 12 disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. Jesus did that. The power of prayer. The second thing that this verse in the Oars tell us is of the wonderful variety of prayer. So he says here, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So not just the two varieties there. He uses the word prayers. That's a very general term. Very general term. It's the most general term used, and would include confession sometimes, or profession of faith sometimes, adoration, thanksgiving, intercession. All of these things are going to grip us with prayer all the time. So part of our prayer will always be that. We'll always come in confession. Always. Sorry, Lord, for what I said, or what I did, or what I thought. Our prayers will always include adoration, adoring our gracious God for who He is. Our prayers will always include thanksgiving, saying thank you to God. It will always include intercession, praying for others. So what Paul is saying is this, there's such wonderful variety in prayer. But secondly, requests. With all prayer and requests. And this means that we come to our Father for something definite, for something specific that we may need or which we pray for. Let's take for example, we all know the crime rate's increasing. Everybody knows that. People talk about it and complain about that often. And we're still not out of a recession. Things are going up all the time. That's part of life. So what's our request? Our greatest request should be, please, God, revive your church. That's what we should be praying for. The greatest desire is for revival. And where revival takes place, it's not among the unbelievers. Revival is not for the unbelievers. Revival is for the believers. When God's people are stirred. So if you ever have the time, you read of what happened in Wales. Or read what happened in Indonesia. Or read. There's a book in my library I've got. I bought it some years ago. Just for the title. You know, just for the title. How's that? The title was this. England. Before and after John Wesley. I said, that's worth buying. And it's a great book, but the title is the best. And what he was saying is, under this man, the country was one thing. And you know, people, when we get into discussions, it's so easy to become negative, and I say, you're right. But are you praying? Well, what if I pray for? Pray for revival. That's specific. That's definite. Say in our prayer, says Paul, the power of prayer, it comes from that tremendous experience of praying in the Spirit. And when you pray, there's so much variety. That's why we love our times of prayer. Intercession sometimes. Thanksgiving sometimes. Adoration sometimes. Confession of it. There's so much variety. So Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with prayers and with requests. Number three, what's the third general instruction about prayer? Well, he tells us the manner in which we pray. How do we pray? Listen. With this in mind, keep alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. My dear friends, that's God's word. It really is. So what's the manner of prayer? Well, there it is, point A. He says, be alert. Be alert when you pray. You and I must be alert, friends. That means, be watchful. It's a summons from God to the Christian to be vigilant. Why? Because we're in a war. And the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. False teachers are on every front teaching their heresies. Watch. Jesus said that. Be alert. I've got to be alert. Every now and again I've got to stop. I've got to say to myself, did you pray today? I'll watch. Am I letting it slip? I've got to watch. I've got to be alert. That's what it's saying to me. At the end of the day, I need to make sure that I haven't become so busy doing lots of good things that I've forgotten to pray. Be alert. Watch. Forgive me if I'm wrong, friend. But maybe you haven't been watching. And you know what's slipping? Your prayer life. How is that prayer time going with Jesus? How's that time going when you're alone with God? And God is speaking to you in the Bible. You responding back to God in prayer? The Bible tells me, be alert. Because what happens, the evil one knows. We let it slip, we become casual, we're rushing around in so many other things, until eventually sometimes we sit down and we sing with that hymn. It's a very sad hymn, eh? Goes like this. Where is the blessedness that I knew when first I saw the Lord? If I could speak as a minister for a while, I can't tell you how many people come to me with that. Say, you know, Warwick, I can remember when I was first converted how I loved to pray. How I love to read God's Word. Nothing was more crucial to me than that. But now it's gone, really. That's what this passage is saying to us. Keep alert. And point B, he says, and keep on praying. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. It's interesting, isn't it? The disciples never asked Jesus, please teach us how to preach. They never asked Jesus that. They never came to Jesus and said, please teach us how to evangelize. Please teach us how to pray. That's what they asked Jesus. So the word of God to me is so powerful here. As I said, it's a start to me more than anybody. I need the helmet. I need the breastplate. I need the belt and I need the shoes and I need the shield and I need the sword. But what this passage is saying is, not just one of the weapons, but the one thing that ties it all together, that pulls it all together, it's going to enable your life as an individual, and me as a person. It's going to enable us to become more like Christ and more passionate for what Christ is. And I'll pray. And I'll spend time with Him. The power of prayer, the variety of prayer, the manner of prayer. And then the fourth thing that this amazing verse tells me is the objects. Who are we praying for? He says, keep on praying for all the saints. All the saints. Praying for all the saints. Now you know all of that. Who are the saints? Well, you are. You see, that's where, I may say that without being disrespectful, the Roman Catholics have got it all screwed up. Because now this present Pope is putting forward the process whereby the previous Pope is going to be made a saint. That's not biblical, that. What is biblical is that when a person repents of their sin and puts their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, they become saints. That's incredible. So who are the saints? We're praying for each other. And it's such a joy. If you ever would like some suggestions in a small way, I'd like to help you. But I need help. So every day in my life, I pray with a book called Operation World. And in addition to all my normal praying, means I pray for a country every day. A different country every day. And it gives you all the statistics. How many Muslims there are, how many Christians there are, how many Buddhists there are, how many African tribal religions there are, how the Bible college is going, what's the need, what's the politics, how's the economy, what's the main languages, what's the literacy rate. All these questions are answered every day in this incredible book. Then it tells you what to pray for. And the second book I pray for is a book called The 100 Key Cities in the 1040 Window. Every day we pray for a key city, like Addis Ababa, Mogadishu, and we were praying for all the Casablanca, talking about North Africa, and I've just started it this year. So there's a key city I'm praying for every day, and they are Christians. Some of these countries have got 0.01% believers. And I want to pray for those saints. And this book helps me. It takes my mind away just from KwaZulu-Natal, and it takes me out of South Africa, and it takes me to this world. It helps me to pray for the world. Pray for the saints. Pray for the saints. Pray for each other. So we pray for those in our own church that are not well. We pray for them. We pray for one another. We uphold one another. So who are the objects? The saints. And it saves me from just praying for my own little world. My own little self-centeredness. My own little family. As important as that is, it lifts up my eyes and says, pray for the saints. And we begin to pray. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Spending time praying for all these countries. The power of prayer. The variety of prayer, the manner of prayer, and the objects. Just to close, Paul uses an illustration. Amazing, eh? Listen to what he says. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known for the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What an incredible man. Arguably the greatest Christian this world will ever know. And he said, please pray for me. Please pray for me. And what did he ask prayer for? There it is. Number one, he asks prayer for clarity. Clarity. He says, pray that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me. He was very, very clear on that. He wanted clarity so that when he preached, when he went on his missionary journey, when he had his one-to-one conversation. Oh, it was terrific, man. I left home quite early this morning at 5:30 and been traveling all over the province today. So Mary came down in her own car this morning and she went back. So I just made sure her car was filled with petrol. We filled up this morning and the car's filling up. And he said to me, "You're in the Fundis." I said, "Yes, my friend." "Are you going to church?" I said, "Yes." I want to ask you, "Are you going to church today? Where are you going to go? When you finish your work?" But that's not the important thing, my friend. Do you know Jesus? Have you come to love this man who died on the cross for you? And there we are at 5:30 this morning, engrossed in a fantastic discussion. He said, "Just don't let the diesel fly over my petrol tank. It ruins the car, please. Just watch that stuff." And we had a lovely chat. But you know what we long for? When we share the gospel with people, we want it to be clear. So that they clearly understand. Pray for that. Pray for that. Pray for me tomorrow morning. One of the men that was here this morning is coming to see me tomorrow morning. He wants to give his life to Christ. Won't you pray for me? That I may explain the gospel clearly to him. So that when it's explained to him, he says, "Yes, Warwick, I want to come to Christ." Now, friends, that's what we live for, eh? That's all that we live for. If people are not coming to Jesus Christ, I get depressed. I get worried. Saying, "Lord, am I doing something wrong?" Because it's urgent. Hell is real. Always this desire to help people to Christ. It's very critical. So we need clarity. Number two, we need courage. He says, "So that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." See how the two go together? We need courage so that we don't compromise the message. So we don't want it to be unclear. We want clarity. But we also don't want to compromise. But both are important. They're both absolutely critical. A fearlessness and a clarity. Won't you pray for us? For one another. That during this week, God may grant us those two things. Won't you pray that for our missionaries? Won't you pray that for Richard? Do you know, folks, Richard Graham, when he was with us last month, was telling us that the school he is teaching at in India is under... it's really under attack by Satan. There's no other word to you. You can use all the other stuff, but that's the bottom line. And there's a court case wanting to close the school down. And we must be praying for this. We must be interceding as we must be praying for Sandy. She's going back Tuesday to Ethiopia. You know, there's this lady on her own. Been here for 6 months, readjusted to this way of life. Lots of fear and apprehension. We must be praying for Sandy. I was with Jinx and Dawn last week. They are in Mozambique. Do you know Jinx was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic and he just got divorced. His life was in an absolute total mess. And I had the incredible privilege of praying with Jinx and he gave his life to Christ. And his life just turned inside out and upside down with his new wife Dawn. And they came to our little Bible school and they said, "Now what do I do, Warwick?" I said, "Man, you're just what we need in Mozambique. He can fix anything. I can't fix anything, but he can." So we sent him to Mozambique. Do you know, he was telling me last week that through him, 11 churches have now been started. And a couple is coming out from overseas to assist him. Isn't that wonderful? We must pray for him. That's what it's saying here. Pray. Pray. We can't go, but wow, we can pray. And we can pray. We can pray for Anderson at that little place called Masonda, just out Kitwe, 150,000 people, desperately poor. No other church in the area because nobody wants to get there. And there's our little Christchurch planting a new work there. The eyes of the world, you're crazy, it's silly, it's far away. Yes, it may be, but it's for the gospel. So why not pray for him? My brothers, my sisters, this is an urgent passage for us. Look after your head, put on the helmet. If you're not saved, put on the breastplate of a holy life. Put on a gospel of peace on your feet to give you stability. Get to know your sword so that you can use it. Put up the shield. But it's not enough. Passage is saying to us, and keep on praying. Maybe you've let it slip. But I would like to ask you to do tonight, maybe if that's true. Say, Lord, tonight you spoke to my heart. I want to start tonight. Tonight. I'm going to start by spending time with God in prayer. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. And we confess that so often we pray so little. Lots of time for all sorts of things, but not time to pray. Please give us tonight a fresh sense of urgency. And like the disciples of old, teach us how to pray as a church. Teach us, Lord, how to pray as a country. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. And we ask, Lord, that with all the challenges of life, we will keep on praying. Please help us, because we are weak. And we ask it in the lovely and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.